Welcome to the Hockey Hound Show. Join us as we break down the latest stories from around the National Hockey League, interviews, and more. Here are your hosts for the show, Michael Prieto and Matt Rezutis.
Welcome back to the Hockey Hound Show. I'm Mike, I got Matt with me, and today we're going to go over your hockey news. There's been a lot going on recently, obviously in Anaheim. Matt, why don't you get into what's going on with their GM, Bob Murray?
Yeah, Bob Murray stepped down. I guess he joined the substance abuse program, or alcohol, I'm sorry. And I guess it's been going on since 2008 with some issues in the front office of, you know, bullying and I guess being drunk, I guess. But he stepped down today, he stepped down and they're moving on. And the general manager interim is going to be Jeff Solomon.
You know, it seems like, you know, everybody's under a microscope now. You know, it's like the world is watching you, not just now, but what you have been doing. And, you know, like I've mentioned before, you know, doing the right thing really helps. Obviously, doing everything in moderation really helps. And it's really unfortunate that he has to go through this, but I'm glad that he's getting help. And I'm glad that he's looking to, as a person and as a human being, you know, take a step in the right direction. But it's really unfortunate, you know, what's going on. Seems like Anaheim's, you know, playing pretty well. And I think this is a bit of a distraction to the team.
Yeah, it's a shame. They have a guy on a crazy point streak, Troy Terry. And then this happens and people aren't going to talk about that streak as much. But the guy is just on fire. He's got 9 goals, 7 assists, 16 points. Ryan Getzlaf's playing great. He's got 11 points. And, hey, they're playing good, and I thought this team would be at the bottom, and they are proving me wrong.
Yeah, to be honest with you, it seems like the NHL this year is really, you know, kind of just flip-flopping a little bit. Like, the really good teams that we're, like, say, like Colorado, we're really expecting them to come out and just annihilate the competition, and that's not the case. It hasn't been happening. And Calgary, I wasn't looking for them to really be doing much. And man, these guys have been playing some really good hockey. You got Detroit that has, you know, we were looking at them as if, hey, these guys are at least 2 to 3 years away from being competitive. And these guys are playing really good hockey right now. We'll see if it continues to go on that way. But I think that it's really cool to see a lot of these teams that we weren't expecting to be doing well.
Yeah, like you just said, you got Detroit's playing well. They're 7-5. You got Columbus is a surprise for me, at least, because, you know, they lost Seth Jones and they've been losing guys over the years. And I believe that they're they're not in a playoff spot right now, but they're, you know, in contention, 7-3 right now. And Philadelphia, the Metropolitan Division is over 500. That's how good it's been. But yeah, even Dallas, like, they're at the bottom, and they don't even have a regulation win. They have 4 overtime shootout wins, and it's just and then you got Vegas. You got Vegas that's 1 game over 500. Seattle, I kind of figured they'd be at the bottom. I didn't really like who they drafted, but I mean, you're not going to knock it out of the park like Vegas did. And then look, you got the Kings kind of in the middle. They're playing well. San Jose, I thought, was, you know, going to be a bottom team, and they're up on the top. And of course, like you said, Calgary 7-2. They're 1 point behind the Oilers, and they're in first at 9-2. So yeah, it's been kind of weird, man. It's been a weird start.
I didn't see that coming at all. I mean, they're playing really good.
Yeah, Sutter, man, the system's working, and you got Jacob Markstrom stopping everything. He's gonna break Tony Esposito's shutout record the way he's going.
You know, you just mentioned it right there, coaching. You know, and I'm gonna lead in from Calgary to Chicago. You know, not because it's alphabetical, but it seems that coaching is such a huge thing in this league, and the Blackhawks they fired Jeremy Colliton. We talked about that on our last podcast. And they brought in interim head coach Derek King. And under his tutelage, they're 2-0. And we're talking about a hockey team that was in the drudges. Well, actually, they were in the drudges sitting on top of Arizona. of the league standings, and they're, you know, they're 2-0 since getting a new coach. Now, maybe they're, you know, motivated because they got a new coach. You know, that could be it. I personally do not think that is it. What I think that it is that Derek King is instilling a defensive, responsible system in Chicago. We're not getting as many shots on goal from the opposing team as we were previously. And, you know, the goalies are not just getting barraged out with shots every single night, you know, facing 45 to 50 shots. On top of that, I think that he's using players accordingly to their skill sets, which is a big thing. It's a coaching thing. It's happening in Calgary, and it's happening in Chicago underneath their new coach. And it's really cool to see, man. You know, just, you know, how you can really quantify the worth of a head coach. You know, you look at Tampa Bay. Now, we would say even last season, Tampa Bay. Okay, you got John Cooper, great coach. If you put Jeremy Colladan on that Tampa Bay team, I'll be honest with you, I don't think that they would be nearly as good as they were last year if they had Jeremy Colladan as a coach. So what I'm saying is that the head coaching position is very quantifiable, even if it's not something that you see in the analytics, if it's something that you can't see, you know, just sitting at the game and watching the game. You know, the head coach, it starts from him and it goes down onto the team, and they're a huge piece. What do you think, man?
Yeah, that's well said. I like getting into that. Look at Carolina. They are 10-1, and it starts at the top, Rod Brendamore. They're all playing like he did in his career, grinding it out, relentless, suffocating, whatever you want to say. That team is very scary. They are just beating down the teams. And I didn't think I would say this, but I was a big Islander guy. I was picking the Islanders, and, you know, they're starting slow. But I think the way the Hurricanes are playing right now, their goaltending, the coaching, the defense, the forwards, they can win the Stanley Cup, man.
I'll tell you this right now. If the Hurricanes and the Islanders meet in the Stanley Cup Finals, or they meet in the playoffs, I think that the Islanders come out on top. And I'll tell you why. I think that the Islanders are built for playoff success. I don't think that the Hurricanes are. I think that they have talent, but they have a roster spot in Kotkaniemi, and you need every single guy on the team playing well in the playoffs. I believe Kotkaniemi hasn't had a shot on goal in the last three games. That's incredible. I mean, if there isn't a guy that goes so unnoticed on a team, I would mention that it's him. When I watch saw the Canes play the Hawks, I was looking for Kotkaniemi and I couldn't find the guy. And it's incredible. I don't think that the Hurricanes are built for playoff success. I think that the Islanders are, with their grinding style, their defensive style, and they can score goals when needed.
Well, yeah, Carolina, they have to get through the Islanders, or, you know, the Rangers, Capitals, if they do want to make it to the final. So it's going to be a tough one, but I think they could probably get over that hump this year. I think that they could. I think Anderson's playing very well. I know Ranta, we talked about him getting completely ran over last game, but those are two solid goalies, and I think goaltending is what beat them last year, and then not staying out of the penalty box against Tampa. But yeah, from watching them, man, play other teams, they're very, very good and scary to watch. I'm just hoping the Islanders can get it going, because, like you said, they are built for the playoffs, that's for sure.
So here's a big thing coming out of Colorado. Nathan MacKinnon out 3 weeks with a lower body injury. How big of an impact do you think this is going to have on the team, Matt?
Well, quite honestly, I don't think much, because he's only got one goal and he's not playing well. He's had a rough start. He had to miss first two games with the COVID. And
the COVID
got him, but
the 19.
It's just, yeah, the team is, it's so surprising that they're, I think they only have one more win than the Blackhawks. That just shows you, like, they're not playing that great. It's not working out down there. They gotta get it together. But obviously he's the best player, but he's not playing very well to begin with. So hopefully he can come back soon and get everybody back on their diet plan and get going.
Hey, man, it's popcorn and pasta in Colorado right now with McKinnon out.
You know, yeah, let loose a little bit, boys.
Yeah, they're going to let loose a little bit. Who knows? They might turn it around and go on a winning streak. You know, with Nathan McKinnon, I believe that he is clearly the leader of that team. He is the guy who is on people's diet plans. He's on. He's working out. He's trying to lead this team to a Stanley Cup. I don't see that going on with Landeskog. I don't see Landeskog leading them to a Stanley Cup. I think that McKinnon's leadership will be sorely missed by this team. And you know, who knows, man? They might go on a little bit of a slide considering that McKinnon's out.
Yeah, it could be. They gambled. They wanted to take Landeskog over Grubauer this year, and you know, they're minus six goal differential. They got 30 goals this year and 36 against. So the defense is not that great either. Kale McCarr, you know, we heard about him being so amazing, and he's good, but you're not hearing all the hype like we did last year with those guys.
Oh God, it seemed like the NHL couldn't go a sentence without mentioning his name.
You know what? I want to say one thing. I've been listening to NHL radio all week, and I am so sick to death of hearing about Philip Deneau in Montreal. He shut down everybody. It's like, oh my God, retire the guy's number already. You guys didn't win the Stanley Cup. And the whole week, that's all they were talking about, how great of a shutdown man he was. It's like, okay, I understand if you won the cup and he left, I got it. But you guys didn't win. You got smoked by the Lightning.
Yeah, they did.
And the whole week it was Philip Deneau this, Philip Deneau that. Oh my God, let's move on, please.
I think he's making a big impact in LA.
Yeah. There's no doubt about it. Yeah. He's a good hockey player. He's a good shutdown guy. But like, Montreal was so upset that he left. I'm like, you guys just, he's getting paid $6 million and he barely scored over 15 goals.
Yeah.
In his, during his career high. So it's like, move on.
Do you think shutdown guys going forward, that there's going to be added value for them?
I thought there was remember a couple years ago, Nick Bonino with Pittsburgh?
Yeah.
He was like their shutdown man, and he ended up, I think he went to Nashville, and he just kind of fell off the face of the earth. And then I'm not sure where he's at right now, maybe Minnesota, but you'd think that these guys would get paid like decent. I think Philip Deneau's a little bit overpaid. But I think they have the cap space, and they wanted to help Kopitar out this season. And it's paying off for the Kings because they're playing very well.
Yeah, to be honest with you, I think that there's a lot of value to them
in the playoffs.
Yeah, especially in the playoffs. I mean, it almost seems that like the NHL turns into a different league come playoff time.
Oh, for sure. It's a new season. Fresh start for everybody, and everyone's bringing their A game 100%. And Philip Deneau, he shut down Vegas, man. He no doubt about it, he's a good player, but I just cannot believe the media this week because, you know, obviously he came back to Canada. He played the Maple Leafs. I think he scored against the Maple Leafs, actually. He's been haunting them for a long time now. And then Montreal, like, oh, Philip Deneau's return. It's like, oh, come on, guys. It's not like David Bolin, how he single-handedly shut down the Sedin sisters and he shut down Joe Thornton, Patrick Marleau, shut down Richards and Carter that year in 2010. That was probably one of the best shutdown centers of the last decade, I'd say. Dave Bolin.
With
the Blackhawks.
He was great. So Tuukka Rask is skating in Boston, which is awesome because, you know, I think it's cool that, you know, maybe that these guys can get a little time away from the game and then kind of come back, kind of reset their head a little bit. Do you think that that he's going to make, you know, their goalie situation difficult there?
Well, if you add I think he's going to be a Hall of Fame goalie. If you add him for cheap, and he said he's going to take a cheap discount, I don't see what the big issue is with that at all. I mean, they're probably open arms, the Bruins players, because they're actually having trouble scoring goals, but if you got a goalie back there who could stop everything, that also helps. And the problem with Boston is they just rely so much on Bergeron, Pasternak, and Marchand. And, you know, they signed Taylor Hall to you know, help out. And, you know, he's good. He's a good player, but I think losing David Krejcik really, really hurt them because he was a good top six forward, added some depth. But, I think I'm glad Tuukka took some time to, you know, heal up and, you know, get his mind right and whatever was going on with him. And I think he's done everything for the Bruins. You know, he's got tons of wins. I believe he's got 306 wins for them, all with the same team. The only thing he didn't do was win the Stanley Cup as a starting goalie.
Right, right. You know, it's funny that I've always looked at Tuukka Rask as a solid player. Like every single time the guy shows up, you know, he's not, he's not like Fleury. Sometimes you don't know what you're going to get with Marc-Andre Fleury. You know, with Tuukka Rask, he's solid. Like every single game, maybe he'll let two goals go by, but not much more, you know, really solid goalie, you know?
Yeah.
I think that the Jackets have been really surprising people this year. Why don't you go over some Jacket news for us?
Yeah. I mean, I didn't see this happening at all. I thought they would be like kind of Phoenix-like, maybe a little bit better. Sorry, I keep saying Phoenix, but they will always be the Phoenix Coyotes to me. But Bjorkstrand, he's a very underrated player. I picked him up on fantasy, and he's one of my best players. He's got 13 points in 10 games, 5 goals, 8 assists. And he's quietly, like, kind of like a... I'm not saying he's Alexander Barkov good, but he's, like, in that underrated players, like, that you don't hear too much about because they're not on big markets. And then you got Jacob Voracek that was with the trade with Cam Atkinson.
Mm-hmm.
He's got 10 assists in 10 games. Wow. I know he doesn't have any goals yet, but I mean he says he feels like he's really happy to feel like appreciated and wanted. So it's been a good turnaround for him. It's working out. And then the goaltending is obviously really good. Corpusello and Merzlikins. Yes,
6-5.
Elvis 1.98 goals against, which is very good. And I think when we talked to the Hound, he said that he thinks Corpusello might be on his way out at the deadline. Possibly the Oilers, I think he said. But
yeah,
I mean, this team is surprising a lot of people. I mean, it's just they're finding ways to win. I think they beat Colorado two nights in a row, maybe. Or I know that they beat them twice. And I know Colorado's not that great, but, I mean, they're still beating them. And they're, I believe that they are fourth in the division, which is pretty damn good. Right there competing.
You know, Merzlikins is very motivated this year. You know, we all know why.
Yep, wanted to win the Vezina for his buddy.
And to be honest with you, with seeing that motivation, seeing him play the way that he is, man, I really hope that he gets it. You know, from like a personal standpoint, that he was able to motivate himself so much that that he wins this trophy for for this kid. And I'm pulling for him, man. I'm pulling
for him too, man. He's one of very likable guy. He's a character.
Yeah, he is. So we're pulling for you, man. From a Hawks fan, we're pulling for you.
Nice. They're East now. You know, they used to be in the Central some years ago, and they were a pretty good rival back then. And it's nice we don't have to face him 6 times a year. You see him twice a year, and it's pretty cool.
Man.
They'd be
putting the hurting on some of these Central Division teams, dude.
Yeah, even when Torts was the coach, they would have beat down the Blackhawks. You know, they had a pretty good solid team a couple of years ago with Panarin, Bobrovsky, and they went all in. They got like Matt Duchene, I think Ryan Dzingel that one season, and they were playing great. But right now, I think they got one of the most underrated players in Bjorkstrand. I think he's a very good player.
You know, it's crazy how, there's so many complications with hockey and how that can, the coach or a player can change the flow of the game for the team, I should say. And on top of this, we've got another thing that is kind of messing with the rhythm and actually just messing with the organization and the team in general. And that's COVID. And I'm talking about Ottawa. They've got 8 to 10 guys out in COVID protocol right now. You know, it's incredible because, you know, it's like, I want to watch hockey, man, but I don't want to watch hockey at the expense of other players' health. And it sucks that you can't just, you know, kind of just pause the season for them. But man, how unfortunate it is to have eight to 10 guys out?
I believe it's eight, maybe more, like trainers or some, like coaches or something. But I know eight players are out on protocol right now.
Fuck. At what point do you say, hey, you know, we're going to need to shut this down for 2 weeks because everybody's getting it when we don't, and it's spreading like wildfire.
Yeah, I don't know what they're going to do with that. It sucks that, you know, I think Pittsburgh's gone through a little bit as well. I think actually Crosby had it. And he's still out.
Yeah, that's crazy. He had his injury. I think he came back for a game and then got put on COVID protocol.
Yeah, it's nuts.
It's unfortunate. So what's going on with Dallas, man?
I don't know. They cannot win a game in regulation. They have four overtime wins.
Incredible.
And this is the one team I just don't understand. I don't get it. On paper, they have a solid team, but I think age is catching up with Joe Pavelski a little bit. Jamie Benn, you know, he's not doing that great. He's got, I think, two goals. You know, they're calling for Rick Bonus. The fans want his head. They want him gone. And I don't know, man. It's a very weird team. They signed Ryan Suter this summer. I thought that was a good signing. But it's the same gang. It's like Radulov, he gets going, and then sometimes Ben would get hot. But I think it's time to move on maybe from Ben and Sagan and start, you know, thinking younger. They got, I believe, Miro Heiskanen, the defenseman. They're saying he's like a top 10 defenseman in the league. And they want him to, like, just get the green light to do what he's got to do. And they feel like the coaches are holding him back or the system's holding him back. But he's got 12 points in 12 games. It's pretty good numbers for a defenseman.
Yeah, when I look at Dallas, I just see a big question mark over it. You know, it's like, what kind of team are you? You know, what are you guys trying to do here? And the questions for me started in the summertime when they signed like four freaking goalies. You know, and
yeah,
you know, and it's like, what's going on over here? I mean, I thought that they would be more competitive. You know, Tyler Seguin, when he left Boston, he really came into his own in Dallas, and then it just seemed like it kind of just
stopped. Like ages ago, doesn't it?
It does. Like
it was a long time ago.
It just seems like it was like seasons ago, man, and it really wasn't that long ago.
Well, don't forget, last year, two seasons ago, they were in the Stanley Cup final against Tampa.
Yeah.
And they were actually playing very well, like they could beat Tampa. They were playing good playoff-like style. Grind out games, Khudobin was on, and, you know, they fell short. But after that, it's just been a train wreck. I know last season they had a rough start with the whole team didn't play for, I want to say, a week after everyone else did, and it's just a weird team. I would probably start thinking rebuild with Miro Heiskanen and Jason Robertson. I'd build around those two guys, one good forward, and then you got a very good defenseman. And then that's what I would do because I just don't think it's working out right now. They're 4-6. They haven't even won a game in regulation, like we said. And I mean, even Phoenix won a game in regulation. So they got to figure this out.
Do you think that maybe possibly they're just going to maybe blow off the season and try and get a couple good prospects?
Yeah, they got some players that I could see, you know, teams wanting closer to the playoff race. You know, Joe Pavelski's a playoff performer. He's somebody I would be going after and just kind of cleaning that cap up. Sagan, I don't think they're going to get rid of Sagan and Ben, even though I think that maybe they should try to move on from them, but I think the cap hits are a bit high, but you never know, man. You never know. Anyway, look at Jack Eichel just got traded. We know it's been a dramatic summer with that, but he's a $10 million player, and they were able to move him. But so I guess anything could happen.
Yeah, I think that, you know, if we were to compare Sagan to Jack Eichel, you know, I think that it'd be easier to move Sagan because number one, he's healthy.
True.
You know, number two, he's been playing. So, you know what you're going to get. And, you know, with Eichel, there's just, you know, there's just so many question marks, you know, is he going to be even better player, you know, and he's got that $10 million cap hit. Obviously Vegas, they're willing to take the chance on it. And I'm really looking forward to seeing how that transpires, especially seeing him play in Vegas. You know, he's going to be unleashed out there. So we'll have to see what happens with him.
He's actually, when he comes back, he is scheduled to be back in Buffalo.
Really?
One of his first couple of games, yeah. So that'll be very interesting.
I wonder if they're going to boo him.
I'm sure a lot of people are going to boo, and maybe they'll give him a Philip Deneau-like reception like they did in Montreal. Like, this guy is a savior. I couldn't believe that. Still can't believe it.
You know, according to, just the experience I've had with Buffalo fans on Twitter, you know, who knows what's going to happen, you know? Maybe they'll be living in denial still. So what do you have going on with the Rangers, my man?
Well, the Rangers are an interesting team too, man. I think they're close. They're in the playoff hunt. Well, the hunt, I'm calling it right now. They're in a playoff spot right now. The thing with me is, here's what I don't get. I think Panarin has one of the best shots in the league, like lethal, deadly one-timer. I mean, me and you, obviously, we live in Chicago. We've seen it firsthand with Patrick Kane, what this guy could, how he could shoot. But since he's been in Florida, man, since he's gone to New York, I think he's only got two goals this season. And that's just one thing I don't understand about what's going on with him. Why aren't they telling this guy to shoot? He's like got like an Ovechkin-like shot.
I don't know either. To be honest with you, I'm just chalking it up to a new season of changes. You know, we expect the bread man to just kind of be this guy who's out there delivering bread every day, and he's not. Maybe, you know, he'll probably get going. You know, you can't really, you know, put him down. But I think with the emergence of Adam Fox, maybe taking a little bit of the limelight away from him is not a good thing.
Adam Fox is sitting on top. Actually tied with Panarin. Adam Fox has more goals than Panarin. He's got 3 goals, 10 assists, 13 points. Panarin's got 2 and 11, and he's got a minus 5, which is kind of crazy too. Usually you see a plus next to his name because he's on the ice scoring goals so much and creating stuff. But it's just weird, man. And they got a pretty good like roster on paper, and I know the Hound picked them to win the Stanley Cup this year, and you know what? He's got something going there. I mean, the goaltending has been very decent. You got 6-2. I'm butchering his name. I can't even say it. Igor Shesterkin. he is 10-2, and you got Alexander Gorgiev.
say them both one more time.
Mike Richter is playing very well. So, no, I mean, they got a good team, man. But the one thing, too, Kaapo Kakko in 9 games played this year has 0 points.
Wow.
0 points.
Because he was on a tear in the preseason.
And he was drafted number 2 behind Jack Hughes. And I believe Kirby Doc was drafted after him. So these guys are – Jack Hughes is obviously the better of the 3 of them right now, but Kaapo Kakko's got to get going, dude.
Is Jack Hughes, would you say he's better than Kirby Doc?
Yeah, I think he is right now. I could see Kirby Doc being very, very good. Give him some more seasoning. If you think about it, this is Kirby's first season.
Yeah.
That he's not going in with a wrist injury or a back injury in a half season. I consider this his first, you know, chance.
Yeah.
So we'll see after this season. But right now, I think Jack Hughes is the better of the 3.
Wow, yeah. That's really interesting, man. So what do you have going on with Florida? Is Tampa trending up, trending down? What's going on with the Panthers?
I think the Panthers are a very scary team still. I think Tampa is just, doing enough to get into the playoffs, get some wins. I don't think they want to be like the top dog. I think, you know, like they were last year to get that President's Trophy. and just dominate everybody. But Florida and Carolina are the scary teams for me, man, out east.
Yeah, I agree. You know, I think that I don't think that it's a good idea to just try to blow out everybody during the season. The playoffs come, then you bounce out in the first round. You know, I think that there's, I just don't see the value in it. Yeah, I mean, what does it really matter where you are in the standings? Because when you get to the playoffs, man, you can have an 8-seed team that's just going to wear you down. So it doesn't matter if you're in first place.
Yeah, the Kings did it all the time. Didn't yeah, the Kings they do did. It in 2012? Going in, they've been in playoff mode for the last, maybe the 2 months before the playoffs started. So they were rocking and rolling and beating everybody that year. Was that 2012?
Yeah, I believe so.
That's a perfect example of, you know, it doesn't matter. You like Carolina right now, yeah, they're killing it. But they got to really manage these guys, especially Anderson. This is a big year for him to show what he could do in the playoffs.
Yeah.
Because he's never, you know, really, you know, got it done in the playoffs. But if I hope they don't overwork him. I feel like Vancouver used to do that too much with Roberto Luongo. They would just overwork him. And,
right.
You know, by the second round, he was just like, oh, geez, Dustin Byfuglien is killing me. I can't take it anymore.
Yeah. Well, hey, everybody, that's all that we got for you today. Thank you very, very much for listening. Do us a favor before you get off. Hit the subscribe button. We really, really appreciate it. Give us a follow on Twitter if you haven't yet. And we'll see you on the next one. This is the Hockey Hound Show. We're out of here.
Thank you for listening to the Hockey Hound Show. You can follow us on social media at Hockey Hound Show. And be sure to check out our website at www.officialhockeyhound.com.